Talking of which, we've made a date with Dion Viljoen from DOCRA. Nice to have you back in the studio, Dion.
Thank you, Dave.
It's always enlightening, and a lot of folk now are watching the affairs of all the civic society groupings that have emerged of late to take almost an active role, which is, well, not almost, it is an active role, in deciding how our rates, our taxes are allocated, spent, watching with great, I think, care, the with oversight of the municipal machine. And it seems to be proving extremely successful, but you've got the information.
Dave, thank you, and good afternoon to your listeners. Yes, as we've spoken before, the Dolphin Coast is blessed with a lot of civic organizations, each of them having their area of speciality, whether that's a neighborhood watch or whether it's a conservancy, or whether that's the Kwadakuza Residence Forum, DOCRA. So we are blessed with having many of these. And what has happened is, after the recent imbizos, which were very controversial, where the budget was presented, we decided that we need to have a more collective action. And DOCRA approached the Kwadakuza Residence Forum. We already have an alliance with CORA, which is the Kwadakuza Organized Ratepayers Association, which is Tinley Manor, Blythe, Dolans and Kwazi. And collectively, we put our heads together and we sent a requirements letter to the municipality, listing our concerns, listing the concern that we have that there's no proper interaction, there's no engagement or participation as it should be, as is envisaged in the law, and also listing the areas that we're concerned about. And we gave them a period of time to respond. They phoned back immediately when they got the letter, and they said that they will come back to us. It took them a little bit longer because they did have to consult quite broadly. It was quite a comprehensive letter that we sent. And 2 days ago, we received their response. I don't want to comment on the response yet because we haven't been able to make it available for everybody to have a look at. But the good thing is that they've responded in detail to our requirements, requests, and concerns, and they've also agreed to a quarterly, what they call an unscheduled meeting. You know, imbizos and those things are scheduled by law, and they have to tick a box to go through them. And what we wanted is a meeting where we can help determine the agenda so that we can discuss the issues that we want.
What are the most burning issues at the moment with regard to lack of delivery or lack of performance on the municipality's part?
I think oversight and performance management is the big issue. The two silver bullets that we are focusing on that can get service delivery sorted is definitely performance management and consequence management. Those are the two, let's call them, the main issues that we want to address and want to understand.
When you say performance management, you're looking at obviously streetlights being fixed and potholes being repaired, etc. Those things have been with us for an awfully long time, and a high time that in fact they were taken in hand. Is there any concentration on the ever increasing and ever escalating rates that citizens of this region are expected to pay happily, with massive increases and almost, I would hasten to say that we're not getting value for money.
If we look at the efficiency or the productivity of the municipality, it's sitting, the most recent figure, at about 67%, according to their own calculation, audited by the Auditor General. So you could actually argue that we are getting 70% service delivery on a broad scale for the whole municipality. But then within certain departments, that percentage is a lot lower. So if you look at the service delivery department in specific, that has grown, but has grown off 37% to 49%, 48-49%. So at the service delivery side, where you're talking about potholes, verges, streetlights, and that kind of thing, yes, that percentage still very low. Some others are higher. Mm. But I want to maybe differentiate about a concept that we're introducing called upstream and downstream. So downstream is the service delivery on the ground, That is where the potholes and the verges and the streetlights and whatever. And of course, we've got to work hard on that, and our councillors are working hard, and everybody on the council committees are working hard to ensure that we get those services. But our focus is a lot on the upstream. What is happening with the overall budgets? What's happening with the surpluses? What's happening with performance management of each of those functional departments? What happens when they are found to fall short of that performance? What consequence management is taking place? Because if we can get that sorted, then it's going to cascade down to the bottom. So yes, we must make noise about the bottom and the issues that we see on the ground, but we mustn't forget that it comes from the top, and we have to look at the overall concept. Now, municipality has recently again won the most sustainable municipality in KwaZulu-Natal, and it's rated number 3 in the country. And the reason it's done that is because it's built up some very good reserves. So they've over-budgeted and underspent, and every year those reserves keep growing. So our focus is on how can those reserves be deployed, and that needs to be that you're now going to be spending your budget. Our municipality is notorious of only spending about 80 or 85% or 87% of its budget. So we need to get to 100%. You're budgeting for 100, spend 100, deliver the services.
Well, you see, listening to that, one would automatically then say, oh, well, I mean, obviously they're doing a fabulous job if that's where they're rated and that's the growth and that's the revenue that's going. In fact, the municipality has almost shot themselves in the foot on several occasions by not delivering the kind of services that encourages development. And the bottom line is the revenue that's been pouring in has been largely driven by massive interest in people developing and moving their entire lifestyle down to this part of the world because it just happens to fall into the purple patch, if you like, close to an international airport, right on the coast, green fields development opportunities, good infrastructure, etc., etc., etc. But to do a development construction and development in this region is a nightmare, apparently, because to get them to sign off on anything, there's red tape and there are deals being done around the corner and all sorts of. I just hear tales of woe from almost every developer that you can think of. And surely it should be the other way around. Surely the municipality should be looking at, well, where does the revenue come from? And have this much more open door policy for guys like you and your organization and the others that you've mentioned to get stuck in with collaboration, because bottom line is when people come together all with the view to making things really pop in this kind of environment, surely that's first prize. I would suggest that there is a political agenda at play, because we know there is, which is counterproductive at the moment. And how do we overcome that?
By pressure, by asking questions, by civil society standing up like we're doing, and putting pressure, asking questions, ingraining ourselves into the IDP process. So we're now represented on the IDP representative forum. We ask questions in MPAC. We attend every meeting that we can. We research. So it is applying pressure and using our influence. Now, one of the main issues that we have with doing this letter is that the municipality has gotten in a habit of engaging, according to them, by standing on a stage, presenting their budget, and then inviting questions of clarity. To us, that's a show-and-tell approach. It is not a consultative approach, it's not a participative approach, it's not a cooperative approach, which is what is envisaged by law. But it's an old habit that has come from a long time, because there wasn't anybody asking these questions or wanting to participate. And now that we have the resources and the ability, and that we're standing together to say, but I want to know more about this, and I've got into the details about that budget and so on, now suddenly we want to have participation. So there's
politically, is that going to be acceptable? I don't think so.
They have to. And they have admitted that they need to do so. So they're required by law. So there is at least now, what we've achieved is a quarterly meeting where we can with them, determine the agenda, and we can sit around a table and ask questions.
Sorry, I didn't want to talk over you. I just want to ask the question. Does that mean that you're going to be able to assist them with regard to the marshalling of resources, or is it, does it go deeper than that? And I'll ask the question. We've got a ward councillor who enjoys almost 24-hour close protection at an enormous amount of money, private security provided by the municipality. The ward councillor cannot operate in the ward which he is designated to operate in because he is that unpopular. He has literally been drummed out of town. The house was burnt down. He was shot at. And yet the municipality brings that character back, appoints him ward councillor for that particular hotspot, which seems to be completely disingenuous. That's just one example. There are many, which you know about.
Yeah.
Are these matters that we can talk about as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is not a municipality that brought him back. That's the ANC political party.
Yes, but they run the municipality, don't they?
Yes, with a coalition at the moment.
Yeah, but they're still running it.
But the ANC, when they had the election, allocated that specific individual to that party for whatever reason. We don't know. But yes, it's costing the taxpayer money.
But surely most of the appointees in the council are ANC appointees, and they've been appointed because of their status in the party.
Yes, but they're not, and not all of them are unpopular or being shot at.
No, but many of them are not able to do the job because they are quite patently square pegs in round holes.
Yes, but then we've got...
Can you get rid of them?
We've got a... Well, it's a political process. So there's a political process and there's the bureaucrats.
Yeah.
And the political process changes every 4 years. So at the moment, you've got a lot of new ward councillors that are finding their feet and learning how the process works. But in the meantime, the structure, the bureaucrats that are employed are very much still the same.
Okay.
So it is oversight of that process. And as I said, we've now got involved in MPAC. We're involved in the IDP. And we're now going to have a quarterly meeting, which we collectively determine the agenda and say we want to have more information about this contract and when was this awarded and why is that cost there and so on. And I must say that and you and I mentioned when we were offline a little bit earlier that the advent of the number of political parties that we have in the council, I attend those meetings, I sit quietly in the corner and I listen, and I'm impressed with the amount of insight, research and questioning and debate that's going on. So the council meetings is an exciting event to watch.
Well, I get the sense that we are entering into a new age of coalition politics that is going to be, if we're going to survive what the past 30 years has delivered to this point where everything seems to be devolving at a rapid rate, if we're going to turn the ship around, it's going to have to be through the offices of those that are firstly desirous of taking leadership and able to perform the jobs that are required to turn the ship around. And this is not going to be coming from the incumbents because quite frankly and quite obviously they're incapable. So yes, coalition politics is a ray of sunshine and a hope on the horizon, but it's going to take a while for us to determine. The next 2 years are going to be interesting, and then 2024, we'll see at the polls what happens then. But you say that you're already seeing the green shoots of some form of coalition revival in council right now.
Definitely. They talk to one another, and when they had to have a vote, on two or three occasions now, all the opposition parties stood together, to bring out their vote on a specific issue, which is very encouraging. If you manage that, you know, somebody in a red overall is, you know, talking to somebody in a blue overall, and they're standing together. Yeah. Or a green overall. So those kind of things are starting to happen. But I want to add another thing, Dave, is there is the political process and the political complexities. And once in 4 years, you know, we can go and bring out our vote and so on. But we can't just be active citizens on that one day in every 4 years. And to my mind, it is active citizenship that is going to change. And for too long, we've had apathy. We've not questioned, stood together. The law is on our side. and the Constitution, the Municipal Systems Act, the Municipal Management of Finance Act, all makes provision for stakeholder engagement if you're going to do it properly, well-researched, well-approached, and we now need to get the municipality to understand that that is what we want to do, and we want to work with you. And yes, we're going to have questions, and yes, it's going to be uncomfortable, we're going to make suggestions. But at the end of the day, we all want this place to be a great place to live for everyone.
And that brings us back to the issue at hand, and that is the fact that you've now got the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association, DOCRA, on a very, very strong footing. There's the KD Residents Forum, which is very, very strong and well managed, I would imagine is the word. There's the CORA group further north, all of whom now have come together in this united front. So there's extremely good leadership at civic society level now, or civil society level, and that's what's been lacking in the past. A strong leadership, a capacity to take on these tasks for no reward other than, you know, hopefully knowing that your job is well done and you can sleep at night with a clear conscience, which is marvelous. And all you need is the support, active support, of those who stand to benefit most from these initiatives. And that means that you need people to join any of the organizations, and they are easy to join. It's electronic age. You can literally point and shoot, click and bang, and there it is. You're in for the year. And that's the requirement. You need a mandate. The mandate comes from how many members you've got. You can judge that by how many membership forms have been issued and paid up. And on the basis of that, you can then go forward and know that you're speaking on behalf of the majority of the citizens of the area, and the municipality then is mandated to act accordingly. This is good news. It's terribly exciting. How do we encourage folk to join you?
The joining is the important thing, and I'm glad that you highlighted that. But it's also the participation. So we need input. We need guidance. We need suggestions. We need to use the influence. So we've got a lot of very specialized and intelligent people in our community, and a lot of them have come forward already. But we need more of that. So we can't just rely on two or three financial people or two or three engineers and so on to assist us. So we're really looking to get that out.
The bigger the team, obviously, the more capacity. That makes sense.
And the more we can share the work, yeah, and the more we can focus on various things. Yeah. And we want to start monitoring service delivery on the ground. So if the municipality is not able to, if they appoint a contractor to come and fix potholes or whatever, we want to be able to give feedback to the municipality on the quality of work that's being done. So it's having people that can assist us, you know, in that area. So
now, to that point, there's an annual general meeting coming up. I think it's this week, is it?
It's actually on the 21st.
Okay.
So we would like your listeners just to save the date. It's on the 21st of July at Zimbiti in the main hall, the Pavilion Hall, at 5:30 in the afternoon.
And is this an opportunity for people to come along and determine whether or not they have the interest and the skills necessary to join in a meaningful capacity if they're not members? Or is it limited to members?
No, it's open to everybody. And the ads are going out at the moment and so on. We'd like you to register because we can have a maximum capacity for the first time of 120-odd people. We don't have to do the COVID thing anymore. It's going to be face-to-face. And that is the once-a-year shop front of what is it that DOCRA is doing. What have we been busy with? What are our successes? What are we currently busy with? And in that, you can then decide, this is a subcommittee that I'd like to belong to, or I'd like to put my weight behind that and get involved. So,
can you also then raise issues of concern? Like, absolutely. For example, there's a massive concern about the quality of the air at the moment, and there's a nice tight group of folk that have been working very hard behind the scenes to show why the quality of air is so bad. But they really have, I think, a limited voice because Unless you've got access to the halls, the corridors of power, you can really not do much. However, combined with what you're talking about, they can certainly get stuff done. So there's an opportunity. I'm just thinking out loud. That's one that I know of. There must be more.
Absolutely. There are many. And there are many interest groups and many concern areas, too many to go through here that we're busy with. We don't have sufficient capacity on all of them. So it'll be wonderful for people that have got an interest, a concern, or a suggestion to make. Come and have a look at what the what DOCRA has been doing and what we've been up to and what we're currently busy with. So there's some very interesting things. So
ultimately, the more one is networked in, the more you can achieve. And that's the exciting message.
Absolutely.
From DOCRA today and from KD Residence Forum and from CORA, Dion Fuljoen is the chairman of DOCRA and doing a fabulous job, if I say so myself, having once been in your shoes and not being able to come even close, but we at least kept the torch alight. But you're doing a fabulous job.
Give us something to build on.
You have you have our support, and this conversation is going to go up as a catch-up podcast, so we'll share that across the community forums and platforms as well. And if you would like to listen again, or you've just tuned into the end of it and like to listen to the entire conversation, that'll be available on our website, on our apps very, very shortly. Dion, thanks. And possibly a post-mortem after the AGM would be a good opportunity to come and report back, and we'll take it from there.
Good. Thank you very much, and thank you for your support.
It's always a pleasure. You're tuned to 88 FM, Radio Life and Style, the voice of Bolito.